Father, we just thank you that you are Lord of this time. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to share, which you put in our hearts, and the opportunity for everyone here to have times of fellowship with you and experience you in a greater and more powerful way. We just thank you, Father, for speaking into each of our hearts tonight as we quiet ourselves and listen to hear your voice. We thank you for this chance to have some fellowship together as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I entitled this Sonship, Speaking and Walking in Love, Just Like Dad. And I've been thinking more and more about sonship, the time that James Jordan first introduced us to it and what it was all about, and just has triggered me to dig deeper into it, because really that is what it's all about. If we're going to walk in the Father's love, we have to be sons, true sons of the Father. We have to have our hearts open to receive His love. And when I was in Israel, a friend of ours that we stayed with was sharing a little bit of the Hebrew that he was investigating and looking into. And it was about the story of Adam and Eve in the garden when they were tempted by Satan to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Satan tempted them with the idea that if they ate, they would be like God. And what Alyosha, our friend in Israel, was looking into the Hebrew, it literally means Adam very well could have been thinking about that very thing, of wanting to be like God himself. And I believe it was a very real temptation to he and Eve. And I was thinking, how could they have fallen for such a cheap trick or cheap temptation as that when they had everything, when they were fellowshipping with the Father, all their needs were met, they were just in a great place. But if indeed, Father has put into our heart this desire to be like Him, or to be, you know, be equal, almost equal to Him in our lives, then that could be been a very real temptation for Adam and Eve to fall for. And being created in the image of God, it would make it easy for us to see that maybe He wanted us to also to be like Him. And I was starting to put together some thoughts, because initially what Alyosha was sharing was that this was a bad thing, that Adam really wanted to be like God. That would be not good. But when you start looking at it from the perspective of love and the Father's love, I started seeing a different side to this, a different possible interpretation of what took place there in the garden that day. Mark Jide, in his book Planted in Love, said that to understand love, we have to be planted in love. And he went on, the book is about being planted in love, and his conclusion is that to really be planted in love is to walk in sonship. And that's the place where we are really going to experience love, be love, receive love, and give love away. So our heart's desire is to receive this love, and Father's desire is to pour that love out into our hearts. That's just the way He is. He's the giver, and He wants to give us the love that is in Him. And He wants us to be motivated by love. He wants us to live our lives out of love and to choose love and have all of our choices motivated by love and influenced by love. And I started thinking about this and putting things together, and I thought of 1 John 4:16, where it says God is love. So I plugged the word love in there, and Satan's temptation would have turned into to be like love. If we want to be like God or be God in our lives, then we would want to be love. We would want to actually be the essence and reality of love. So, if Adam wanted to live a life of love, then that would be a good thing, to want to be like God who is love and to walk in that. But then I thought, well, love never wants to take someone else's place. It never is envious and never wants to rule or reign over anything or anyone else. Mm-hmm. Love is very much accommodating other people. And Father wants us to become love by the process of receiving His love. I heard in a book that Stephen Hill, who has worked with Father Heart Ministries for several years, wrote his own book, and the revelation that Father put in his heart that motivated a large part of this book was that everything from God is a downward movement. Everything we receive comes from Father. And you think about James 1, and it says every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. Comes down from above, from the Father of lights. And so love is a downward movement and a downward reaction of the Father to us. And all what we're to do is receive. It's just a continuous receiving of everything from the Father. And you think about Jesus, that's pretty much the way He walked through His 3 years here on the earth. He received everything from the Father. He received the direction, He saw the images, He did what the Father was flowing through Him out to other people. So Father wants us to become love like He is love by the receiving of that love. So what it showed me was that with Adam and Eve, it wasn't so much their disobedience, which is what everybody focuses on because God told them not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, as much as it was them trying to become love and become like God in a quicker way. It wasn't the receiving of the love. They were going to reach up, literally reach up and grab the apple and to eat it, but to try to reach up and become like God. And this was going to be a quicker and easier way to do that. Instead of being willing and patient and open their hearts to receiving all the love, eventually you would receive enough love to be filled with love. I believe every day that Father came to visit them in the garden, He was imparting more love to them. He was flowing down more love into their lives, building up the love tank inside of them. In Stephen Hill's book, he contrasts true Christianity as this receiving everything from above, receiving everything from God. And religion is man's attempt to reach up to God, man's attempt to please God, to try and be like God, trying to do it on our own effort. And it's a really powerful book. It's called Primal Hope. And it really, he does a very good job of contrasting true Christianity and religion as that tempted to do it in messing things up. So the closest we can be like God is to walk in sonship and be planted in love, just like Mark Jain was talking about. And to keep receiving more and more of His love until we become love, because we start being so filled with His love that it flows out of us, just like the full cup, once it's bumped, love splashes out onto other people. And we can live in this continuous state of receiving His love and giving it away, and walking in love and making all of our lives be love-driven in everything that we do. Part of walking in love is walking in sonship and speaking the language of love. And I've heard that Father speaks the language of love in another book, Prone to Love, by Jason. And I started thinking about the language of love, and to be able to communicate with someone else, you have to speak the same language. And if you love someone, you want to be able to speak their language. I thought about even the five love languages. You want to communicate love to someone, you want to speak their love language, the two things that they were. And Father speaks the language of love, and that's the language that He uses. And so I was thinking, you know, a lot of us struggle sometimes with hearing the Father and hearing His voice and understanding what He's trying to communicate with us. Even though He's continuously trying to talk to us, we can have a hard time hearing that. And I saw that very well could be because we don't completely understand the language of love. The language of love is the language of heaven. And in heaven, there is no limits. It's a measureless, limitless love that He has, and a measureless and limitless resources. And we live in this limited world that's time constrained and resource limited and measured out. Everything is measured rather than this limitlessness that the Father has. So for Him to be speaking to us, even in the scriptures, a lot of people have a hard time believing the abundance and the blessing and grace and all those things because they're limitless, they're measureless, they're love. They're coming from this language of love. The scriptures are full of this language that Father is speaking. And the language of love is spoken to the hearts. We could call it the language of the heart, the language of love. And Father doesn't speak to our head, He speaks to our heart. And when our heart receives this love language and understands it in our heart, then our heart puts it into images on the image maker, and then our brain begins to see it and understand it and experience it. Because the images are there, and the brain can see and feel and experience the images. And it begins to impact our lives. It begins to impact how we speak. It begins to impact how we live our lives, how we interact with other people, because we have these images, just like Jesus said, I only did what I saw the Father doing. And I only spoke what I heard the Father speaking. Well, even the Father speaking is creating images inside of Him. And He was walking it out. And so He was walking out this language of love. He was walking out these words from the Father in His life. And so this language of love flows into us from our heart. And part of another thing that I kind of pulled into this, that we have spiritual eyes and ears and we have natural eyes and ears. I would say that not only our physical natural ears and eyes, but also a soulish eyes and ears, because when Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that said their eyes were open. But it wasn't their spiritual eyes and ears, because they were hearing the Father, they were seeing the Father. They were experiencing the Father in a real way. So it was the eyes and ears that were open were these soulish eyes and ears suddenly. And that they overpowered and overcame the spiritual eyes and ears. And so man, Adam and Eve, and man from that point forward started seeing things through natural, soulish eyes and ears. Even though a person may be deaf or may be blind or something, that there's still a soulish eyes and ears there that are picking up and receiving what the world's saying and doing. And so to hear the language of love, to hear the Father's language, our spiritual eyes and ears need to be open to hear it. Because that's what allows it to hit and impact our heart. We only hear in our heart and see with our heart through our spiritual eyes and ears and not the ones that were open in the Garden of Eden. So we're being transformed by love, by receiving this downward flow of the love from the Father, and it's transforming us into the image of His Son, transforming us into sonship, becoming and walking as sons. Jesus is the example of the perfect Son. He also said that He was a reflection of the Father. If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. Are putting this all back together again, realizing that it's not that far of a stretch to think that Adam and Eve were really had this desire in their heart to be like God. Because if we want to be transformed and be like Jesus, well, Jesus is a direct reflection of the Father, the truest image of the Father. So it all begins to come back together as to thinking that's why it was a powerful temptation to cause them to make a choice against the Father's will for them to choose to go this other direction. And the whole impact of it, and like to bring it into a personal level, and like for me, the receiving and becoming more filled with His love and walking in love and becoming more like Jesus, being transformed into the image of a son, has been one of setting me free from temptations and sins and things from the past, things that were virtually on my own willpower and own attempts impossible to stop. And yet, because of the love, the choices now are being motivated and come from a place of love in my heart. It's easier to resist the temptations. It's easier to say no. I've had some failures. I'm not a perfect 100%, but it's easier and easier and longer periods of time, further and further apart, that any of this ever impacts my heart, because I become more and more filled with His love. Those things don't happen like they used to. And so it can be just this gradual turning away, but it's okay, because we have the rest of our lives to receive this downward flow of the Father's love from above into our hearts. And really what we just need to do is to be loved, to be at rest and be at peace, allow Father to speak into our hearts and allow Him to change us, allow Him to do the work. And when you do that, you become free from the guilt and the shame and the condemnation and the self-hatred and everything that goes with that, because you realize that He's loving us. He's continuously loving us, and we walk in the finished work of the cross, so our sins are forgiven and cleansed and taken away, so that we can walk into this glorious freedom of sonship, which is why I say that basically what I was sharing is along with what we're going to be sharing on October weekend, that this is a freeing thing. This is something that brings true freedom, true peace, true joy, true fellowship and love, both with the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and with the other people as well. So the key focus is becoming more sons and becoming more like Jesus. And I just encourage you tonight, if you don't have anything else that you're seeking the Father about, wisdom or guidance or anything, then you might ask the Father, what's the next thing that you want me to be doing or be about, what changes that are coming up next for me to become more like You. Not only are we becoming more like Jesus, but at the same time, we're becoming more like the Father, more and more the love that God is in our hearts.